ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This morning, if you would, please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6 as we continue our study through the book of Joshua. And remember, this is a study in victorious Christian living. And let me just read the verses we're going to be looking at. We're going to pick up in verse 12, and then I'll give a little bit more of an introduction. But in Joshua 6, starting in verse 12, this is what we're told. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. Then the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day, marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it was so, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, keep yourselves from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord." So all the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it happened, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the wall fell down flat, that then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. Remember in our studies so far, in Joshua chapters 1 through 5, it dealt with entering into the promised land, entering into the land of Canaan. And turn back to chapter 1 of Joshua for a minute. Let me just give you a little overview of what's going on here. We're going to pick up in verse 2 here in Joshua 1. We're told, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites into the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good cheer, of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all that the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now we read that and we don't realize the huge task that was before Joshua. You know, Moses spent 40 years with the children of Israel in the wilderness. And the reason they didn't enter the promised land was because of unbelief. And now Joshua was going to bring the children of Israel in. Think about it. Those that refused to go in that were 20 years old and up all died in the wilderness. Now their children are going to enter in. And do you ever think that through Joshua's mind, he's thinking, "I know what happened when Moses was in charge. And it's just really the same people. Is this going to happen again?" And yet we see the faith of this man. In verse 10 of Joshua 1, it says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess.'" That's a total walk of faith on their part. Did they have any contract, any signed papers that said, "The land's yours, just go in and take it"? No. It was a walk of faith. And even crossing the Jordan River was a walk of faith, because remember, the Jordan River is at flood stages right now when they were going to cross. There's no way they could bring over 2 million people through the Jordan River safely. And so 3 days they're standing there or camped there by the Jordan River, watching these waters flow by. And the reason being is God wanted them to come to the end of themselves so that they could rely on him. 3 days thinking about, well, if we build a bridge, maybe that'll take some time. Maybe we'll wait till spring. I don't know. 3 days they waited. The Lord instructs them. He tells them, get the priest and grab the Ark of the Covenant. And when their foot touches the waters will stop. And they'll cross through on dry ground. That's another walk of faith. I mean, all they could see before them is this raging river. And here's the priest. They got to put their foot in. And as soon as they do, the waters are dried up. In Joshua 3:17, it says, "Then the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan." And now they're in the promised land. They're in the land of Canaan. And you think, is that it? No. That's just the start. Now there's battles in the promised land. This is, as we said before, entering into the promised land is a walk in the Spirit. And think about it, as Christians, as we're walking in the Spirit, don't we face battles each and every day? Of course we do. It's tough out there. And yet, God said, this land is yours. Interestingly enough, the first battle, the first city that they have to conquer, it's not some little Hickstown city. It's Jericho, a fortified city. It had walls all around it, fortified structure, soldiers. That was their first enemy that they were going to face. And really, in Joshua chapter 6 and continuing on through chapter 21, we're going to be dealing with conquering the land of Canaan, the promised land. The children of Israel are going to have to do battle with the enemy to obtain these victories. God said the land is yours, but you're going to have to walk in it. You're going to have to do battle. And I'm going to focus more on this in a minute, but our study this morning is going to be on destroying fortresses. Think about what's before the children of Israel, this city. Not only this city, but the next one and the next and the next. If you look at how they're conquering the land strategically, God gave them some amazing battle plans to divide the land and conquer the land. British Field Marshal Edmund H. Allenby, it seems like he studied the book of Joshua because he adopted this plan in his liberation of, the story talks about Palestine, but I will use Israel because I don't believe there ever was a Palestine and is a Palestine. But that was during World War I. And Israel, it's a very hilly country, and the major passage through it is a connecting road that runs from south to north through the highest portions of the land. Joshua's strategy and Allenby's was to drive westward from the Jordan Valley to the high road and divide the country. And so when the enemy forces were divided, they would first destroy the opposition to the south and then the opposition to the north. And that's kind of the outline in Joshua's chapter 6 through 11. But before they could divide the land, a wedge had to be driven from the Jordan River Valley to the mountains. And guess what the first obstacle was? Jericho. Isn't that interesting? Even in our time, you know, World War I wasn't that long ago. I guess it was, but they used the same strategy. And so they divided the land. Interesting. And we think about it, we go, man, and I've heard some people say, you know, Joshua must have been a brilliant military leader. Let me clarify that. I don't know if he was a brilliant military leader, but I know he was a man who was surrendered to the will of God, who was a brilliant military leader, because God knows everything, right? And really, all the children of Israel had to do was obey God, walk by faith. And I think the same is true in our lives. Look at the battles we face. And, you know, those fortresses, those big walls in our life that seem we're unable to tear down. It could be alcohol or drugs or pornography or materialism, pride, even anger, maybe broken marriages. Anything that is standing before you to take you down and destroy you is a fortress in your life. And just like Jericho was for the children of Israel, your greatest challenge, your greatest obstacle that is trying to stop you from possessing all that God has for you, God wants to tear down. The lesson that God gave to the children of Israel, and I believe he has for us as well, as we deal with these personal enemies that are before us, you know, the flesh, the world, and the devil, God's going to give us victory. I think many times we don't walk by faith. We don't trust him. We try to find our own ways to get out of situations. Think about all the things that are bombarding our faith today. I mean, isn't it incredible? I mean, you would think that Christianity is evil. It kills people. People's lives are destroyed. Let me ask you this. Where you see Christianity growing, do you see people flourishing? Yes. Why? Because they're surrendered to God and they're obeying God. Let me ask you this. And you could search this out. I'm not picking on anyone, but I'll pick on this one group. I guess I am picking on a group, huh? But look at Islam. Check out wherever Islam has a foothold and see the devastation of people's lives. And yet you listen to the news today and you think Christianity is the evil one. No. Our faith in our Lord changes our lives in such a way that it blesses those around us. Never forget that. We want to be victorious in our Christian life. And so this morning, we're just going to begin looking, it's actually a three-part study here in Joshua 6. And the first one deals with the essentials for victory are really obedience to God's word in verses 12 through 17 of Joshua 6. Next week, we're going to look at keeping yourself from accursed things or hindrances in verses 18 and 19. And then the victory, a walk of faith, in verses 20 and 21 of Joshua chapter 6. So let's pick up, let's read these verses here this morning in chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. As we look at this topic of destroying fortresses, this is again what we're told. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. Then the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, so they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it was so, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." People are always looking, well, what kind of program do you have to help me be victorious in my Christian life? Is there a 5-step program, a 10-step program, a 12-step? What do I have to do to be victorious? There's no steps. Obedience to God's instructions. You want to be victorious. That's where it starts. It's where we live, and it's where it ends. When do we get ourselves into trouble? When we disobey God. That's where the trouble starts. And, you know, I think we all agree with that. And you may be thinking, well, then what's the problem? Why are we even doing this study? We all agree with it. Let's just move on. Well, the problem comes when God tells us to do something and we don't want to do it. There's the problem. when God says no, we say yes, or we ignore what God is telling us. You know, sometimes we think that we're really special and God gives us this special dispensation to go and, I guess, sin. Book, chapter, verse on that one. Show me. Show me where God gives us a special dispensation to disobey him. He doesn't. Like a loving father, you know, we think that God is trying to ruin our fun because we think we know better. But again, we're children, right? Children of God. And when I was a kid, I thought I knew more than my parents, believe it or not. Oh, you did too, huh? But did they know what was best for our lives? They absolutely did. Were they perfect? No, they weren't. Our Heavenly Father is. My parents weren't perfect. Your parents weren't perfect either. But they did their best to help guide me to become the man I am today. They tried to keep me safe, to protect me, to watch over me. And our Heavenly Father does no less. He does more, in fact. And if we don't want to listen to him, we start getting confused. God, why is this happening to me? Why am I not seeing the victory? And God's waiting. You're not obeying me? You're doing what I told you not to do. And you expect the victory? That's not how it works. You got to play by my, I hate to use the word rules, but you got to obey my word. He knows what's best. We've talked about this, but what God instructed Joshua and the children of Israel to do in their battle against Jericho just kind of boggles the mind. The armed guard was going to leave, marching under their tribal banners. They would have the seven priests with the seven trumpets. The Ark of the Lord would go next, and then the rear guard. March around the city once while the priests blew the trumpets or the ram's horns, and then just return to camp. 6 days they did that. And we might not think too much about it, but some of you remember Desert Storm. It wasn't that long ago. Okay, World War I was long ago, but Desert Storm is a little closer. And remember how we were coming against Saddam Hussein because he attacked Kuwait, and we were trying to get Kuwait back. We wanted to liberate Kuwait from Iraqi control. And who was the leader? Norman Schwarzkopf, right? He was the leader. And here you are. You're ready to go and attack Kuwait to free them from the Iraqi control. And this is what Norman Schwarzkopf tells you. This is the battle plan. Men, we're going to take back Kuwait. He's just firing you up, you know, you're excited. What I want you to do is to get some of the soldiers together and put them in front. Yeah, that makes sense. We got to get marched through. Then get some of the chaplains. Let them bring their trumpets and put them next. What? Behind them, I want you to have some of the chaplains carrying a Bible. This is getting a little weird. And then the rear guard. And what I want you to do is just march around the city of Kuwait one time. Don't say a word to anyone. And during this time, chaplains, they can blow their trumpets, but that's it. Then just come back to camp. That's the battle plan for day one. That's all they know. It's all the children of Israel knew. 6 days this goes on. And the same story each day. What would you think of, Norman? A little too much on the drink in there or something, right? Are you kidding me? Does anyone else have a battle plan? Okay, let me change the story just a little bit. It wasn't General Norman Schwarzkopf who gave you the battle plan. Now it was the Lord. Now what would you think? You still may think that's a crazy idea. We would. I mean, we're human. Let's face it. How many of us would think, wow, let's go and do it? We would think that's a little crazy, but the Lord said it. And that's why I'm going to do it. And that's really the key. I don't always understand the hows and whys of God, but I have to obey him. That's the key. Again, the children of Israel, can you imagine day one? All right, we'll put up with Joshua for this first day, going around the city, not saying a word. But then day two and three, four, five, six. Come on. Can't say a word. And I don't know about you, but if I was on the wall of the city, looking down at those guys walking around blowing trumpets each day. Maybe day one I didn't say anything because I was a little nervous, but by day two, I'm yelling at them, I'm mocking them, I'm making fun of them. Wouldn't you do the same? I mean, how ridiculous. Well, these are the guys that are going to defeat us? Look, they blow the trumpets nice, but what's that going to do? It was a walk of faith. And by the time day seven came around, go around seven times, blow the trumpets, and shout because the Lord has given you the city. What faith? I mean, you know, again, we read these stories, but do we understand the faith of these people to do that? It was incredible here. They were obedient to the Lord's instructions, even though it sounded like a foolish thing to do. And God honored their obedience. He's going to give them the victory. Because remember, the victory is not going to be given to them because of their strength, but it was because of the Lord. This was a test by God to see if they would walk by faith. It was also a trial by the devil to see if they would refuse. Oh, make no mistake about it. The devil loves to come in there when God is testing our faith to get us to sin, to get us to disobey God. And who are we going to listen to? And it's interesting, you know, we look at this battle plan and go, man, I can't wait to see what God says for battle number two. They're all different. And we never really see another battle plan like this one. You think, well, why did God do something like this only during this battle against Jericho? And I think the reason is this. I think God was trying to strengthen their faith. You see, guys, you're not going to get the victory because you're so strong and powerful. You're going to get the victory because I am. And you're going to have to trust in me in the little battles and in the big battles. Every battle you face, you're going to have to rely on me. And I think we're probably pretty good with the big battles, right? You know, we're on our knees praying, you know, Lord, I don't know what to do. Help me. What about the little ones? I got it. We're going to see when we get to Ai, little battle, they didn't bring it before the Lord. They took care of it themselves, and they lost, interestingly enough. And remember, God leads us step by step. You have to take step one before he shows you step two. And it's really an absolute surrender to the Lord. You think about what their forefathers did in the wilderness those 40 years. Completely different. You know, God told them to go into the land of Canaan, the promised land, 40 years earlier. And Moses sends 12 spies in. They look at the land. Hey, 10 of them say the land's great. It's awesome. You know, oh man, milk and honey. Oh, it's great. But, you know, there's fortified cities. There's giants in the land. We're in trouble. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, said, man, the land is great. Let's go take it. God has given it to us. Those 10 spies got the whole nation to doubt God. And they died in the wilderness because of unbelief. They refuse to walk by faith. But here, this next generation, what are they doing? They're walking by faith now. They're trusting in the promises of God. And really, God had already given them the victory. Well, then what do they need to do? They need to walk by faith. Has God given us these victories in our lives? Yeah, we just need to walk by faith. We don't always like what the Lord tells us. And we listen to man instead of to God. And we could believe the strangest things. In fact, I'm going to read an email that I got a few years back. But I hear Bill Gates is also giving money away on Facebook too. So I got to try that one. But listen to what we're told. It says, this took two pages of the Tuesday US Today. It's for real. All capital letters. And if it's all capitals, you mean it's true because it's an email. It's got to be true. Please read. It was on the news. To all my friends, I do not usually forward messages, but this is from my good friend, Perlis Sanborn, and she really is an attorney. If she says that this will work, it will work. After all, what have you got to lose? Sorry, everybody. Just had to take the chance. I am an attorney, and I know the law. The thing is for real. Rest assured, AOL and Intel will follow through with their promises for fear of facing a multi-million-dollar class action suit similar to the one filed by PepsiCo against General Electric not too long ago. Dear friends, please do not take this for a junk letter. Bill Gates, sharing his fortune, he was sharing it back then and still sharing it today. If you ignore this, you will repent later.
I don't think that you have to repent of, but okay. Microsoft and AOL are now the largest internet companies in an effort to make sure that Internet Explorer remains the most widely used program. Microsoft and AOL are running an email beta test. Oh, this sounds so good. When you forward this email to friends, Microsoft can and will track it if you are a Microsoft Windows user for a 2-week period of time. For every person that you forward this email to, Microsoft will pay you $245.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.